Welcome, welcome, welcome to the latest episode of the Bean Center podcast. I'm your host, Tega. I'm joined by my regular co-host on the show, Edmond Oris, and a new special guest on the show today, all the way from Ukraine. He's a student of Kiev Medical University in Ukraine. His name is Lukman. He'll be on the show with us today. I will let Edmond introduce himself, then Lukman will also introduce himself to everyone, because you'll be hearing from him for the first time. Edmond, how are you doing?
Well, Tega, I'm actually feeling great. I'm happy. I'm excited. I cannot wait for Tuesday. I want to watch the Napoli game. I want to watch how Barca perform. I'm good. I'm happy. It's been a brilliant week, to be honest.
Yeah, considering Messi scored 4 goals, I can imagine it's been a brilliant week for you.
It was world class, man. It was out of this world. I cannot explain in words how excited I was yesterday, to be honest.
Well, let's not jump the gun yet on that. So let's put a pin on that. Lukman, how are you doing?
I'm doing very, very great. It's a pleasure to be on the podcast for the first time, and I hope to start on. People enjoy it.
Exactly.
It's been a good week for Chelsea.
It's been a good week for Chelsea. Are you a Chelsea fan?
Yeah, I'm a Chelsea fan.
That's nice to hear. I'm happy I'm not being ganged up today by non-Chelsea fans.
We are together.
All right. Okay, let's kick off the show with Chelsea. Chelsea took on Tottenham, the early game of the Premier League weekend games, and Chelsea played very well. So we're really, really surprised that performance. They outperformed Tottenham throughout the game, and it was a well-deserved 2-1 victory. Edmond, before I talk about some of the key points that happened in the game, Edmond, what did you think about Chelsea's performance against Tottenham?
Well, I thought it was brilliant. I wasn't expecting them to win because they've been on a very bad form since I think they lost to Newcastle, they drew to Arsenal, they lost to Man United. So it's been very shaky. And with the fixtures coming up next, I thought they were going to fumble against Spurs. But it was a good game. I was really impressed. Lampard switched to a 3 at the back. And Giroud, I was very happy for Giroud, to be honest. I loved when he came on against United, he got a goal that was disqualified. So he followed up performance against Spurs and it was very good. It was very good. Kovacic was also very good. Alonso surprisingly came into the side and did very well. So I was surprised for Chelsea, but happy for Giroud. But well, let's see what they do against Bayern.
But Lukman, what did you think about your team's performance against Tottenham?
It was very, very fantastic. The way Lampard changed the formation, his flexibility in that game was very, very spot on. And the way we played from the back, Alonso wing back, was just superb. And just showed how good Giroud can be up for with his link-up play. One of the best target man in football. Very, very brilliant. And surprisingly, that game, Mount was very superb. The way he was playing as a winger, creating chances. But he didn't score, but he performed really, really well. That was one of his best performances I've seen in the Chelsea shirt. It was incredible.
Yeah, you touched on Alonso. And I feel Chelsea's formation needs to change for me just to accommodate Alonso. Just because of the way he plays in the wing back, it's very, very good compared to when he's played at the back. Yeah. I think that was why Lampard was like dropping him this season, because he basically can't defend. But when he plays as a wing back and he has as a Rikwetan, he has Rudiger, he has Christensen, those three base back three that can mop up his mistakes. I mean, it's just better for Chelsea going forward. Oris, what do you think of VAR decision? Because Lo Celso should have seen a red card for that tackle on Azpilicueta. Then they said no red card VAR, and 10 minutes later, the FA confirmed that VAR made a mistake and that should have been a red card. I mean, it keeps happening in the Premier League often now. Every VAR mistake is always bound to be an embarrassing error every single time. It happened against Chelsea Manchester United, when Maguire should have seen a red card against Westphal Lombashwai. Now, Lo Celso should have seen a red card. And FA even confirmed it even before the match ended that VAR made a mistake. So what do you think? Why do you think Premier League keeps having this issue with VAR? Is it not a simple thing? Because everybody who saw that tackle immediately knew that was a red card. So why do professional referees keep making this mistake?
Hey, I'm not really in the best place to answer the question, because I don't like English refs. A lot of them, from McDean to, what's this other one's name? Michael Oliver. Ah, that guy, I don't like. they are making a mockery of the VAR. They are just like school children. How do you watch that and not give a red card? How? And it happened against Spurs. Chelsea against Spurs in the first leg. I think they gave Son.
Son, yes.
Yeah.
And Maguire did hit against Chelsea. He was not carded. Because me, when I watched it, I was like, this should be... You have to look at this. You understand? And then this one now. So, guy, they are becoming too... Is it clumsy or too... lack of professionalism, and it's just making a mockery of the whole VR thing. Probably it will get better. It has to get better because it can't continue at that standard. Can't.
Lukman, what's your take on it? Because Premier League referees, they don't use their monitors, which is stupid, number one. But what do you think about this VAR mess in the Premier League at the moment?
VAR has been a mess in the Premier League since the beginning of the Premier League. You look at how VAR was used in World Cup and you say, like, wow, it was fantastic. You check last season where La Liga was using VAR, you look at how good VAR was being Italian league. Just when it comes to Premier League and they messed everything up. I wonder how you want to give your offside and you'll be looking at the tools to give an offside. The red card issue too. The red card can mess up a game. As Lo Celso didn't get the red card, as same as in Chelsea, Man United game, Maguire didn't get a red card and he went to score after in doing the game. So the game, that red card would have affected the game and would have changed the face of the game and what we have, because FA now, they will be apologized after the game, after we've lost the 3 points. It's just embarrassing the way they use. They don't even check the monitor. They don't even use anything. They just wait and anything they see in the room and they go to step. It's just embarrassing.
Away from VAR now, Mourinho, after the game, he came out to say the season is over for Tottenham, basically that he has no strikers. Harry Kane is injured. Son is out for the season. Basically, he has no strikers. So fans should not expect much from Tottenham and the media should not expect much from Tottenham. Boris, what do you think? If you're a Tottenham player, what will you think about your coach's statement? Because this is typical Mourinho. He hasn't changed.
No, he's been realistic, guy. He's been realistic. What do you want him to do? He can't win the league. He can't win the Champions League. And probably FA Cup, but then it's tricky. Being realistic, guy, he's without his best two players. He's without Harry Kane, without Son. How do you want? And they were not able to get so much players in the transfer window. So, guy, he's been, in a way, he's also lowering the expectation and just telling people that, guys, see, we are done. We'll just try and finish as best as we can. But they can't win anything. What do you expect him to win, guy?
Not really. I don't really expect him to win something. But at least don't just make those kind of statements. Because why I said it's classic Mourinho is because, okay, now he doesn't have Harry Kane. He doesn't have Son. And he basically came out to say that he's waiting till 1st of July for the transfer window to open so he can sign some players. And we know Tottenham, they don't really spend money on players. So what happens when Daniel Levy tells Mourinho that there's no money inside my post, there's not much money inside my post to sign players? Where does it not turn to?
Don't let's forget that last season, Pochettino took Tottenham to final without Harry Kane, and he was unable to sign, and he played with Moria and Son. January transfer, Mourinho still grew up big grind, they still lost Celso's deal. But last season, he had no Harry Kane till Champions League final, and he's still projecting to get the Champions League final. So I don't understand how he said this season is over, and it's just February because Harry Kane and Son is out.
Ori, so that's a good point. So are you still defending Mourinho with what Lukman just said?
Being realistic. You guys are not being realistic. Even with Harry Kane and Son, the chances of them winning anything this season. Come on, this guy took over in December. When did he take over? The chances of them, they were 14 points behind. Now he has brought them, I think the point now is at 4. What do you want?
He's been very, very, very brilliant. But just that point that because Kane is out, then it has finished.
It has finished. And what he's also doing is that he's lowering the expectation and the pressure on the club
players.
And play. His best players, they are not going to win the league. They won't win the league. And about you talking about when it's July, they won't give him money. Mourinho, after he got sacked at Man United, he said it over time in his interviews and in his match analysis with Sky Sports and the rest that he was going to think long and hard before he takes over his next project.
Yeah.
You understand? They have to... For him to have taken over Tottenham, they would have given him guarantee and assurance that they were going to get players. It's difficult to get players in January. So, yes, that one is out. But by July, they will go back to the drawing board and they will start planning again. So, what he's basically doing, like I said, is being realistic, guy. Realistically speaking, they cannot win anything this season. So, it's not a bad thing that he's coming out to say. He's going to give the players that freedom to say, okay, yes, this season is done, but let's just try and give it our best. Whatever happens, no pressure.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah. I agree with Edmond.
What do you think of Mourinho's former team now, Manchester United? 3-0 today. 3-0 against Watford today. 3 goals. Bruno Fernandes got his goal. Greenwood got a goal. Man, you seem they might have turned a corner a bit under Solskjaer.
They beat Chelsea.
Exactly.
That was painful.
No, they always beat Chelsea, so Chelsea is not at least this season. So
just look at these Chelsea fans. They want to downplay. Look at you, typical Mourinho behavior. They drew in the Europa League game 1-1. They came from behind. And then this performance, for me, it's progress. So it's progress. Happy for them. I can't really read too much because Watford, I think they're 19th or so. But it was good performance. Yeah. You know, Bruno has come in and he has kind of lifted the spirit camp and is making them...
Hope you in this game, that Bruno's penalty wasn't actually a penalty. It was kind of dive. And VAR didn't even check. They didn't even look. Second look on it, they didn't check it.
Let's not go back to VAR. It's done. But that Bruno Fernandes, guys, he looks like a very quality signing.
Yeah, he's a baller.
I'm happy for him. I'm happy for them. Let's see what's up.
For Arsenal, 3-2 against Everton this evening. Bukayo Saka came in, and I think his introduction helped Arsenal in a way because I don't think without him coming on, the turnaround would have been faster because Everton took the lead and Arsenal had to come from behind to win the game. What do you think of Arsenal's performance, Lookman?
Arsenal was fantastic in that game. At the beginning of the game, man, the Calvert first scored and it was like, oh, they were going to lose. And the way they picked up, they played on, and Saka introduction, the guy just looked very good. His crosses, his delivery are just perfect. That boy is good. I hope Nigeria, NFF just run for that boy and get him because that boy looks very, very good. And Arteta has been doing brilliantly. The way he plays, the way the team, even Ozil looking very good. Good Ozil back. Everything they will use. Mustafi was very good.
And Edmond, as a retired Arsenal fan, any love lost before your former club? What do you think of Arteta?
When Arteta came, you know, since Arteta came, and on this podcast, every time I always defend Arteta. I'm a big fan of his. Maybe it's because of his link with Pep, but he has been a brilliant guy. We have to be honest. He has come in. They're unbeaten in 2020. I think they've lost once. He has come in. He has made them. When he came in, they were shambolic guy. They were low on confidence. Low. They could not win. They could not play. But now you can see the togetherness. You can see the compact. You can see how difficult it is to beat them. And they have this resilience in them. And all of a sudden, Xhaka, that was on the verge of leaving the club, is one of the best players now.
He wants to sign the contract very soon. They are about to agree a new contract for him.
Yeah, I watched the game against Everton and his positioning was brilliant. Him and Ceballos.
Xhaka too. Xhaka that everybody wanted him out. Osman wanted him out. Just playing very brilliant.
Mustafi's playing like prime Maldini against Sugar.
I think Mustafi is like Willian. He has some days off and some days on. I think he has had his first day on in 2020. He has like two or three more matches before he goes.
No. If you are being honest, you see that he has improved.
Yeah.
You see that,
But even the Chelsea game that he made a mistake, he played well to the end of the game after that mistake and it was very, very good.
Before we talk about Barcelona, because I know Edmond is itching to talk about Barca, let's talk about a youngster who has been tearing it up, Erling Haaland, in the German Bundesliga. I mean, he has 10 goals now in the Bundesliga this season. And I saw a stat this weekend that only 9 players have scored more goals than Haaland. And he only came in January. Only 9 players have scored more goals than Haaland this season in the Bundesliga. I mean, I watch some of these days. I try to watch Dortmund's game, and if I can't watch Dortmund's game, I try to check the goals immediately someone scores just to see how he scores his goals. And he can do everything. He can score worldies, he can score tap-ins, he can score. His positional play is just, he can score any kind of goal.
Top on. His movement are always classic.
I like the guy. Yo. I don't think there's anybody in world football that doesn't like him. He's brilliant, man. Apart from his scoring, and what I like about it, I like his personality. I like he's not phased. You can see that he's so young, but he plays like he has been playing life. He plays
like an experienced,
When he scored, the first goal against PSG, the way he celebrated was just, I was like, and then the second, so fast. You know, he has this lanky body type. He's someone like Thomas Muller. But it was a clip that came out where he ran, after clearing the ball in the corner against PSG, he ran a very remarkable distance in a short period of time. And he has the pace, he has the height, he has the personality. And I'm happy for him. I'm really excited to see what happens. I just hope he can be consistent. But for now, guys, he's out of this world. The stats are... He's outscoring both Ronaldo and Messi. 10 goals in the championship.
That's just incredible. Messi scored 4 goals this weekend. First half hat trick. I mean, before the match started, Messi had not scored in 4 La Liga games. I think it'll be 4 or 5. I think 4 La Liga games, which was his longest. Oh. Yeah, which was kind of his longest run in La Liga for a while. And he against Iba, his normal customer. So I heard he had scored 16 goals in 10 games against Iba before yesterday, and he just made it 20 goals in 11 games.
I want to hear what Lukman has to say about Messi.
Messi is a goat now, obviously.
Did you watch the game yesterday?
Yeah, I watched the game. That is first goal. That is pretty nutmeg on that defender. Oh, that was very nice. The second goal, even the last goal, he shows that he cannot even score tapping. He has to dribble the keeper, make the keeper lie down before he passes into the net. Brilliant.
No, I think I've said everything there is to say about Messi. Even when he wasn't scoring, I think he went through a patch where he didn't score, but he was assisting. Yeah. So it was still these 6 or 7 goals before Roberto scored last week. And then he's come yesterday and he scored 4. And for me, why I'm very happy is because the goal came at a very good time. We have Napoli to play on Tuesday. We have Real Madrid to play by weekend. So get scoring again was very crucial. So I'm happy. The goals were... The first goal especially, I was like, how can you not make someone in that tight space? Someone like, are you spirit? Are you... Oh, my God. So you can't. But I have learned that with Messi, anything is possible.
Yeah, with one thing I've learned, exactly, you said it, with Messi, anything is possible. And with Barcelona, so anything is possible because something strange happened last weekend, which I want us to discuss now. Barcelona got a very, for me, in quote, an unfair advantage to sign an emergency player because... I do not care what club you are, whether you are Barcelona, Real Madrid, Chelsea, Man U, even if you have 15 players injured for 100 months, you shouldn't be given that kind of privilege to sign a emergency player. And especially, and they went to get a Leganés striker, Martin Price, who had a release clause of 70 million. For me, it was an unfair advantage for Barcelona. Even your president, after signing the Bryce White, he also said it was unfair for Leganés not to be able to sign a player. But the problem now is that Leganés were not allowed to sign a player to replace Bryce White. And obviously now they are fighting relegation. They might get relegated because their key player is out of the club and they could not even get a replacement. What do you think about that rule? For me, I think it's unfair and it should have not been done, no matter how big the club is. But I don't know what you think.
Yeah, listen to me. Life is fundamentally unfair. It's unfair on Leganés, true. They may go on relegation, true. I'm sorry, but the rule and the law was not made only for Barcelona. It has been made in Spain for numbers of years. It's only just coming to the limelight now because Barcelona are choosing to activate it. They are not the ones that wrote the law. Law says if you ask out injured for a long term.
Five to six months.
Yeah, and they have 2 players. They just activated the law. They were not the ones that wrote it, guy. You understand? It's unfair. But at the end of the day, everybody will do what they have to defend themselves and to give themselves a upper hand. You get Dembele's injury was very unfortunate because in January we didn't want to sign any player. We're banking on Dembele coming back, new signing and everything, and then he had his relapse, which basically rules him out of the season. The guy is not going to come back, I think, in August.
Yeah.
We are light. Roberto is injured now. We have only 13 fit first team players, guys. So what do you want us to do? In England, it can't happen. In Italy, it can't happen. But the rules in Spain state that it can happen. And on Leganés being unable to sign, none of their players is injured. It can't happen for them. That's not the rule. That's not how it works. I know that is unfair, but that's our life.
Anyways, for me, that's not how that should not be how life. That's how life is, though. But that should not be how life should be in terms of football, because obviously Barcelona
go back and review the rule after this.
Yeah,
But it's a rule and it has to be followed. I feel bad for Leganés too, but it's a rule and they have to activate it.
After this season, the Spanish teams will go back to the drawing board and say, okay, this cannot happen again. This can happen again, and then they stop it. But So long it's there, so long it's an option, you can take it. If Leganés will do it if they have the opportunity, guy. Let's not kid ourselves. Your club will do it if you have the opportunity.
No, we are happy with Batshuayi and Abraham. Lukman, what do you think of Bryce White's performance? I mean, he came on when Barcelona were 3 goals up, and he got an assist to his name and almost got a goal.
He came up for Griezmann, because of that game, Griezmann was just out of the game. Even since the beginning of the season, Griezmann has just been up and down. And he was very, very brilliant as he came on, 2 assists in just 2 minutes. I think it was a very classy performance. And we'll see more of him against Napoli on Tuesday.
Oris, what are your expectations when you guys play Napoli on Tuesday?
We should win. I don't understand. Anytime Barcelona takes the field, we have to win. We're in good form. Koulibaly is out injured. Messi is scoring again. Setien at the wheel.
Everyone is kind of saying at the wheel nowadays.
We should win. Or we should not lose. We shouldn't lose, but we should win. We shouldn't lose, basically, I beg.
Well, we'll wait to Tuesday to see how that plays out. Lukman, your former star, Eden Hazard, he has been struggling with Real Madrid. Real Madrid lost this weekend 1-0. And he has been struggling with injuries. He was back on Saturday and got injured in the game again. Real Madrid also lost the match this weekend, 1-0. What do you think about Hazard so far? And is there a way he can get back to his best before the El Clasico?
It's really painful to see Hazard, Eden Hazard of Chelsea, struggling with games, struggling with injuries, and just as I now missed more games in Real Madrid than he missed the whole 7 years he spent at Chelsea. Injuries. He hardly get injured in Chelsea. Probably I've only seen getting injured like once or twice in his whole Chelsea career. Now he's struggling to even get goals, struggling to get assists, struggling to even be fit for matches. It's actually very painful. But I think very soon, if it continues very soon, you know, Madrid fans, they don't have any choice. They will just bring him, and in 1 year or 2 years, they might just want to send him out again, which will be very, very painful to see of Hazard. So I hope soon he gets his fitness.
It's been very unfair. Unfortunate. It's unfortunate. He's not just had any rhythm, is it continuous? Let me use that word. He's been on. Okay. I don't want to be like the normal English media that will come and start saying, He can't cut it in La Liga. He can't deal with the physicality. He can't deal with
that. That's what English media will tell you. If it was an English league.
In the Premier League, that's what they will say. But no agendas here, though. I feel like it's unfortunate, but I feel like it will come good. It will come good eventually. Probably not this season again. This season is done.
Yeah.
He's out.
I'm saying it might be out at the end of the season.
I don't think it'll be end of season, but it's out of El Clasico. It's out of out of their Champions League game against Man City midweek, and they've lost to Levante. They've dropped from first to second. I think 2 points behind Barca, and Barca will probably win that game at Bernabeu on Sunday next week. So probably their season is over. Except if his season is over. I don't know who win against Man. I don't know how they'll do against Man City. But it's been unfair what has happened to him. But then again, Modric was labeled the worst La Liga signing. The year he came, he struggled also. Even Bill had issues with injuries when he came too, but he lit, and I don't really know what to talk about it, but Hazard is too talented to flop, guy. He's too talented.
How do you feel about being back to the top of the table in La Liga, pending when the El Clasico? I think even if you guys lose the game, I think you'll still be top, if I'm correct.
No.
Okay, you guys lead.
The only 2 points. So if they lose, Madrid will be top, I think.
But Tega, as a Barca fan, being top is our bet, right? As far as La Liga is concerned. We have Messi for most of this time, and the guy has really closed the gap. See, most of our La Liga wins has been down to Messi, and I keep saying it, as long as we have Messi, it doesn't matter who Real Madrid buy. You can buy Pele, Maradona, bring back Ronaldo. As long as you have Messi in your team, over a 38 game league guy, you are not going to be as consistent as he is. It's too decisive for you to win. The season we didn't win when Atletico won, Messi was injured. It was just before the World Cup. I think the other time it was Mourinho. I don't know what Mourinho did. He got 100 points. So that's hats off to that. But other than that, guy, eight league titles in 10 years, solely down to Messi. So as long as you have Messi, you have a chance.
So what happens when Messi retires?
When that time comes, we'll then
All right. So let's preview some other Champions League games coming up Tuesday and Wednesday. We've obviously talked on Napoli, Barcelona, Chelsea, Bayern Munich, Lookman. What's the fate of Chelsea?
Now we are seen as the underdog, and they think Bayern will just go on and beat us anyhow. But I really feel that it will be a very tough game, and I think Chelsea should come out with something. It depends on how Lampard lines up. I see him playing that same 3-4-3 that we played against Tottenham. But I think it will be a very, very cool game. But I don't know what's wrong. He hasn't been playing here for a recent, and Caballero has been in goal. Although he's been very, very good, but sometimes you feel Caballero, he comes off his line very, very soon, and sometimes he can cost us. I hope he plays very, very well. Rudiger has been kind of questionable in the last few games. He can't play like that against Lewandowski or Naby. We are going to chop it so much if he plays like that. But it's been a very good game.
As a fellow Chelsea fan, I see Bayern causing us so many troubles because our defense is almost non-existent. Our goalkeeping problems are is a serious one. Kepa is on the bench. Caballero is Caballero. He can be good. He can be bad. He can be shit. I just hope that Giroud starts and not Tammy Abraham, because Tammy Abraham is young. He's still, for me, Tammy Abraham still has a lot to learn, forgetting his amount of goals he has scored this season. So I feel Giroud
should be better in Champions League, in European competitions, like the way he played in Europa. He'll be very, very better. And I hope I doubt he'll be fit to play, but I just hope he's back on the bench, because we really, really need Pulisic also in that game.
Oris, your predictions for Chelsea Bayern, what do you think will be the scoreline?
Guy, you guys can't beat Bayern. You guys can't beat this 2012. Bayern, they are not all that good, though, to be honest. They are not all that good. But the issue, I feel, but Lampard kind of proved me wrong this last game, is that he's not so flexible. You understand? When you see managers for the, like Guardiola, it will never change his style. Setien and most of the, they are not, that's why I like Mourinho. You understand? I'm not a big fan of his style of football, but he's pragmatic. He will do whatever it takes to win the game.
Just to win.
So I'm just hoping that Lampard, no, I'm not hoping. I want Chelsea to lose. Jesus Christ. I want Chelsea to
lose. Olympic Lyon vs Juventus. Ronaldo has been on top form this season. 11 straight matches, 11 straight goals in Serie A. He scored this weekend again. Juventus won. He has been an incredible for his age. People keep, the more he keeps getting older, the better for me. I think the better he gets, or the more chance he has to prove his doubt as wrong. When they play Lyon, what do you think happens? What's your prediction on that?
Straight winner, they win Lyon, of course. They win Lyon. There are no two ways about it. They'll win. It will be an easy win. But Juventus, they are not all that, but they'll win. They'll win. They have too much experience to not win.
Look, man, what's your take on Ronaldo?
I think Juventus win the game easily. The player has been out for Lyon for a while. And Dybala, Ronaldo, they are both on form. So it'll be an easy win, I think, for them.
So there was a big fight this on Sunday morning, early hours of Sunday morning, Nigerian time. Tyson Fury versus Anthony Wilder. Was anybody shocked to see Fury win? Because I wasn't shocked. I felt he was always going to win. I've always felt Wilder is like a bully fighter. He's a fighter that thrives off bullying his opponent. Once he can get that kind of fear into his opponent, that's the end. That's the way he fights. But you can't do that with Tyson Fury. He has gone through a lot. He has been through a lot. So Tyson Fury is a different animal altogether. And Fury deservedly won. Knocks him out in the third round. Knocks him out in the fourth round before he's in the seventh round. Wilder's camp had to say, tell the ref to throw in the towel, that it was all over for Wilder. And I think that was, for me, that was the best thing that could have happened, because Wilder, for me, is a very stubborn fighter. He's prepared to even die. He's very proud. He doesn't want to accept defeat. That kind of fighter Wilder is. Uris, what do you think about the whole bout? What do you think about Tyson Fury, especially?
I like Tyson Fury. I didn't watch the game. I think I saw the highlight. But I know he's, from his previous fights I've seen, the guy is very technical. He's very calculative. He knows, I don't know how to put it. He's not really much of a, you know, there are some fighters when they just want to box. This guy is calculated. He's very calculated. That's the word. So I knew he was going to win. I was not surprised, to be honest.
Lookman, what do you think about the bout?
Yeah, I think Fury was bound to win in normally, but I really like Wilder. I wanted Wilder to win the fight, kind of, but he was too bushy. He made a lot of mouth, and at the end, he fucked up. So there's a cool fight, I think. But I actually wanted wider.
Oh, you were supporting Black History Month. Someone said Black History Month ended early.
Well, there are talks that fight against Joshua. You post Golden Boy. Golden Boy. Who do you think wins that?
For me, I feel Fury will win. And why I feel Fury wins that, I think recently Anthony Joshua is beginning to select the kind of fights he goes after, because I think he wants to enjoy his health in a good way. You can see he's now more of a celebrity. Yeah, he comes to Nigeria, he does NIN, goes to see the Oba wearing shirt and boxers, all those kind of things. So I feel, I don't even think Anthony Joshua will want to fight Fury. I doubt that bout will happen. But in a world where it happens, I think Fury definitely beats Anthony Joshua. I don't think there's any question about that.
I think
that might happen soon. Because I saw, I think like this guy's manager or something, Joshua's manager commenting that the fight will happen soon or something.
Later this year.
Well,
it will be Joshua.
I don't see Anthony Joshua winning that battle. But it's going to be fighting. Both of them are actually friends and they are both from the UK. So Joshua is from the UK. Fury is from the UK, and I think they are both decently free. They are good friends. So it will be fun to see what happens. I think the Nigerian shaman, or popularly known as Juju Man, Juju Men, will be helping Anthony Joshua. Maybe they'll be concocting something. We'll get to see that play out. In extra time topic, Peter Doshi came out recently to say something about men kneeling down to propose to women, that it is wrong, that it's a borrowed culture from Europe. That's why when a divorce happens, the wife takes away everything from the man, all those kind of stuff. And it trended a huge deal for like 2 days on Twitter. Boris, what do you think about that whole statement?
I found it funny. To be honest, I saw sense in what Edoche was saying. You get, that guy is a legend. I like him. He's a real traditional
herbalist.
I understand coming from, but I don't subscribe to that idea. Guy, it's a nice gesture. It's romantic. It's beautiful. There's nothing there. It's just kneeling down. So I don't understand why he was trying to say when you kneel down for a woman, you are giving her power and ownership over the house. For me, that's just BS. I will kneel down to propose to my wife. It's something I'm going to plan. It's something that I'm looking forward to doing. So how will you come and say, guy, I beg.
Maybe you just sit down in your chair, you tell her marry me or something like that. I saw a video of I think maybe it's a Yoruba movie of a guy slapping the woman, and after slapping her, tells her marry me. Is that what you'll be doing when you propose to your girlfriend?
No. That video was kind of very, very funny. The man was actually too far. He was trying to prove a point about culture and something like that, but it's too far to just saying like you shouldn't be saying you have a lot of power. Nah. If you want to propose, you want to meet him, just propose and you guys should move on. It's not as deep as you're saying after.
Exactly, guy. It's not as deep. The way he was making it look like all these old people say.
it was just a strange. I don't know. I saw Peter Dutte trending, and I didn't know why. Until the following day, I think I missed Gist between the powers, and I went back to kind of investigate why it was trending. But to me, I think kneeling down is just is a proper, in my own opinion, is a proper thing to do. Just, and it's a nice gesture, it's a romantic gesture. I don't know. I think even females that propose to their, even females that break the trend and propose to guys, they still know that they still know that to do it. So I don't get, but that doesn't really happen all the time though. So
that boy that faked his bully case, I mean, I didn't really follow that gist, but something about bullying, and then later he came out to say, they say he fakes his death. I mean, something. Did you guys catch that gist?
Okay, yeah.
I think they raised close to $200,000 for him. $200,000 or $400,000 for him.
So what was the exact story? Because I didn't follow it. I don't know.
Okay. I think he just said he was being bullied in school and some things like that. And he wanted to kill himself because of being bullied, because he's small or something. All this kind of deformity. That's why they were bullying him.
Not bullying.
I think he was bullied in school. But the thing is that some people said, so a gist came out like 24 hours later, 48 hours later, that it was not really He's not really a 10-year-old child, I mean, a 9-year-old child that is actually 18. And after that, some people debunked the theory that he's 18. Some people said he's actually 9. But the fact is that it brought a huge conversation about bullying, I think. And bullying isn't right. Even if the guy was acting, I don't know whether he finessed the whole world, but it looks as if he finessed the whole world and got over $200,000 donated to him. Uh-huh. So let's say theoretically he didn't finesse the whole world and he was actually bullied, it just brought a huge conversation about bullying and about the amount of deaths that happen with young kids that are being bullied in school. Because it brought this whole conversation about young kids being bullied in school and committing suicide. And I can count how many times personally I was bullied when I was little, and I've seen many people face those kind of issues. I mean, bullying isn't right. I don't know why it's still a teen at this age. Anyway, I'm not shocked that it's still a teen because
Definitely.
I had my own fair share of bullies in growing up.
You're so tall. Who is bullying you?
It's not about being tall. It's just some people just like to take advantage of people. So it's one of those things that happen. People just see you and they feel they can take advantage of you. And I had my own fair share. My own fair share of those set of people. So
growing up, personally, I was very small. I'm still very small. But in secondary school, I was the smallest in my set guy. I was like, and I was in boarding school, and they were big, tall. Nobody ever bullied nobody. Even my seniors, not my mates, not anybody. I don't know. There was just some. In fact, but one thing I knew, I used to like develop a sense of protection around myself, was that I had very sharp. So before you said, I don't run you down sharp. But I get that. I saw it happen. And terrible. It's not something that you should do to somebody else, because it fucks you up mentally. You get growing up.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of people commit suicide or whatever it is that happens from bullying. It's not something that should be happening. So we have to, as a society, as the world in general, we have to do better. And parents have to teach your children, it's not good to bully people. You get it? So I think that's that on that.
It's a very, very easy topic, because apart from even that, even abroad, like school students, like black students there, you know, the white student will definitely feel as being superior. And racism is also like a form of bullying, to be honest, because they will feel that they are really better.
Yeah. I wanted to actually even ask you that question. In Ukraine, you get a lot of racism. Does it happen there a lot?
It happens a lot. I've faced a lot, like a lot. But man, I just come to your house and tweet, I've launched on Twitter, but racism is kind of very hard.
Is this something you've learned to like deal with or cope with?
It's something I've learned to cope with in a manner, because most times when you just like, it was not last week or something, I was just walking on the street, I was going to school in the morning, and they just came to me, for fucking nigga. I just walked past, because there's nothing you want to do, you can't be right. You can't pick a fight, you can't do anything, it will always be against you. Recently too, my friend was inside the train and some guys were laughing at him, and when they came down, they posted something on the train. They're like, yes, racism. Racism is a very, very big issue. Yeah, they feel they are right, they feel they are over you. If you anything, they can do anything about you. It's something that I would just deal with still mentally. I saw Edmund's tweet of recent talking about racism. Like of recent, he tweeted something about racism when Marega was being racially abused.
I deleted it, please.
he said it was a very, very sensitive issue to talk about. Actually, it is very, very sensitive issue to talk about, because those things can fuck with you mentally, because you can't just, the way people react to things are different. Marega played at that point, he fought and he showed them his skin, trying to say that his skin color doesn't matter, and they still kept on abusing him. So there was nothing else he could do. If you had fought to prove to them that your skin is very, very sharp, and they still continue abusing you, then you have nothing to prove again. You have to walk out. But yeah, sometimes you just walk and you just lie down, just thinking that, is there anything wrong with your skin color? Like, is any other skin color more than? Not everything is very, very, very equal, but that feeling is in game mainly.
I said, it's unfortunate what happened to the guy, the footballer, and him trying to walk out. And I said, but if we continue to walk out, then...
Yeah, I think then you are giving them the win.
Winning, because if you walk out today, will you walk out tomorrow, and will you walk out next tomorrow? What happens? because the way I see racism, and it's a topic I don't like to talk about on Twitter because they can suspend your account. There are some issues personally I try to avoid. Because you know them, Jack.
Yeah.
I see racism as something that it's never going to end, guy. It's unfair. It shouldn't be, you get, but it's just the way. I don't think a time will ever come when we would say, yes, white, because these people are giving birth to children and they are teaching the children the same thing.
Yeah, this morning, she almost do the same thing. They will see you, they will start running. Like, why are you running? Just kind of they'll just see you, they run away.
You get, it can be managed better in stadiums, in public places and all that, but for it to stop, for the whole world to come into and key into the idea that all skin, nah, it will never happen. Those people will not agree. You get.
When we look at Nigeria, so tribalism is still a big issue.
Exactly. You see them
saying, my listen. Yeah. So if tribalism is not even being caught in a country, Nigeria, Africa to Africa, South Africa is having an issue with Nigeria. That's another xenophobic problem. Racism is a big problem.
So I'm like, if we cannot agree that it's never going to end, why are we walking out? If you walk out, then you are winning. You are letting them win. They were pissed off because the guy was a key part of their team that was winning. So they wanted to destabilize any other thing. So they said, okay, let's attack him. If we attack him, he will walk out. And it happened. So I feel, but I'm not in his shoes and I don't know how I'll react, but from just looking at it, I think that Dani Alves once was thrown a banana. He took it.
It's just a sad situation all around. Bullying, racism, every single thing that goes along with those sort of things. Well, on that note, on that, is it a lightful note? On that, I don't know what to call it, sad note or whatever it is. We could bring an end to the Vien Center podcast for this week. Let's hope the Champions League matches go well for our various teams, and we'll be back next week with the full squad to discuss the second round of the Champions League games. Oris, thanks for joining me once on the show today. It's been fun having you around as always.
Thank you, guys. You know, football is all I talk about. Yeah, I love football. That we're going to have brilliant football conversations. I'm always ready. So thank you for having me.
And Lukman, thanks for joining all the way from Ukraine, our first international guest.
It's a pleasure being here.
Man, it was nice.
It's a pleasure being here. Almost every time I listen to almost everyone that you guys posted, I make sure I listen to them. I was like, oh, this is very, very nice. Very nice. Very, very good job. I hope I'm here more times, more episodes to come.
Definitely you'll be coming on more episodes. All right, guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks for your support on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on Pocket Cast. It means a lot. Thanks for your likes, your retweets, your shares, your downloads, especially. It helps us. And if you would like to sponsor the show, let us know. Reach out to us on Twitter. Reach out on Twitter or via email. We respond to every single message. Take care of yourself, guys. Cheers.